Please turn to your note. Before. I already finished the introduction part. I'd like to talk about the sketches of the Bible characters in the book of Genesis. And you can see that there are 22 topics that I listed over here in the notes. I wrote all this down is for your reference in the future. How many of you brothers like to be a sermon speaker? Raise your hand. No one? You don't like to be a sermon speaker? Okay. We have many written material which is in Chinese that you can reference. Very few material that is written in English. So thank God I try to write in English so you can reference it in the future. There should be more topics in the book of Genesis concerning the characters, but I happen to have 22 only. But I only have 10 more hours left, so I'd like to pick 10 topics, 10 topics to share with you, if the Lord's willing. Or maybe nine topics, because the last session we might have a test. So we will talk about the first topic. It is called Talk About the Life of Noah, the Reflection of Rainbows. Can we switch the terminal to my computer? Is it possible? Miki Oi, you are from Hawaii, right? Can you share with us about the rainbows in Hawaii? You see one almost every day. Can you see your most impressed rainbows that you see in your life? Can you share with us? I know there are a lot you see almost every day, but one most beautiful rainbow that you see in your life. There are triple rainbows?
Wow.
Okay. That's why Hawaii is called paradise. Oh, by the way, you should make friends with Miki Oi. She got a very beautiful house by the end of the street, and on the end of the street, her house is the entrance, almost entrance to a very beautiful, how do you call it? A trekking trail, and it's a very beautiful place. You should make friends with her, and to have a free lodging over there, you know. And I overheard that the swimming pool, you can drink the water from inside the swimming pool, is that right? Spring water in the swimming pool. Hey, so don't let her go without knowing her, okay? rainbows, yeah. So Migoi, what do you think of, what comes to your mind when you see rainbows? How much God loves us, right? Rainbows, from Noah's stories, I think when you see rainbows, you shall know that it is a covenant. When you see rainbows, you shall know that it is a sign. And when you see the rainbows, just like Miguel says, it's the mercy of God, rainbows in the clouds. If there is no rain, shall there be? Is there any rainbows? No, right? Rain only came when they, and rainbow only came when there is rain. Rainbow only came after there is rain, right? After rains. Rain prefigure what? After storms. Storm is difficulties in your lifetime. Rainbow is the grace of God. So, rainbow after the rain tell you that there is always a grace of God in the difficulties of your life. Now we shall study point by point concerning Noah's story, right? Shall we turn to the Bible? Bible chapter Genesis chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 8. Chapter 9, verse 8. 9, verse 8. Please read.
Then God spoke to Noah and to his son with him, saying, "As for me, behold, I will establish my covenant with you."
And a covenant with you, right? And so there's a covenant God wants to set up with Noah and his sons. And besides that, what are the parties?
And with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out the ark, and every beast of the earth.
11.
Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood.
So when you see the rainbow, you should know that it is a covenant between God and not only with Noah, but also Noah's descendants. Are you Noah's descendants? Supposed to be you are one of them, right? We all came from the same root. So this is the covenant between you and God. And not only you and God, it's all the flesh, the birds, the animals, the beasts in the wildernesses. It's a covenant. So the content of the covenant is that there shall be no more floods, right? There shall be no more floods. Verse 11, no more floods to destroy the land. No more floods. So since that day, you never see a flood that is so great, like Noah's age, that, you know, reached the top of the mountain, even Himalaya. So this is the contents of the covenant. Now, when you say covenant, what is the common word in nowadays? Promise or contract, right? You want to rent a house, you need to sign a contract, right? After you sign, you went to college, you rent a house, and at the end, the landlord need to sign, and you need to sign it too, right? So covenant is, the content is for two parties. So God used the rainbow to sign that contract. And when you see it, you're not, you know that God already signed that contract. It's up to you if you want to believe it or not. Now, but from Noah's age till now, there is no more destroy or damage like the Noah's age, right? Now, when did God start try to sign this contract? Or want to offer this contract to us? When? Let's read chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 22. Verse 20 to 22.
Verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. 21. The Lord smelled the pleasant aroma, the pleasing aroma, and said to his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done." 22. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease.
Why do you think the Bible needs to say in verse 22, when earth still remain, there shall be harvest, there shall be seed and harvest, winter and summer, fall and spring, and day and night will continue? Why did God want to say this? So what do you think? Before Noah's flood, there is no winter and there is no summer. There was no need to harvest, no need to sow the seed, no need to, like, a season to harvest. They can harvest any time. Right? What do you think? So from this verse, you can see that Noah's flood, the world before the flood and after the flood is very different. Before, like, all the trees, how many have been to Hawaii? Or besides Miki Oi, how many of you have been to Hawaii? You. Have you ever go to the jungle and pick the wild fruit? You got wild fruit over there that you do not plant by yourself. It just grow. What do you have, Mikioi, over there? You don't plant it, it just grow. Mangoes? I didn't know that. I know guava. Guava and? I know avocado. What else? Bananas? Oh, okay. What else? It's amazing. You go to this land, right? There are a lot of birds. There are a lot of birds. They are so lucky. They got fruits, you know, all the times. Can you imagine that in Garden of Eden, you don't need to plant anything. You just, you know, just like your house dog. Do you have dogs in your house? It's just like your house dog. What do your house dog do every day? Do they sow the seed? Did they harvest? What do your dogs do? Huh? Yes, you just lie down under the sunshine and right? Just lie down over there and, you know, when you're there, oh, I'm hungry, go to the food. Today I like durian. Durian is better. Pick durian. Do you know what is durian? How many of you like durian? Ah, it's nice. So my point is that at that time, right, there is no like a 劳苦愁烦, right? I mean, I'm talking about the Garden of Eden, sorry. In the Garden of Eden, there is no toil and laborers to get food, right? But even after the Garden of Eden, still, according to this verse, I believe, because there's a layer of water above, right? So weather is very different from today's weather. My preacher teach me, when Noah's flood came, it's not only rain. Today, when you think about flood, what kind of flood is that kind of flood? It's like rain, one drop, two drop, three drop, or many rains, then and start to overflow the earth. Is it like that? How does the flood come by? Anybody? Hello? You know.
A broken dam?
Broken dam. From where?
River?
From river. Noah's age, yeah. I'm talking about Noah's age. Noah's age. How does flood come by? Anybody? My bride. My bride. Hong says something like that. Huh? Rain. What else? Is it only rain? What else? Huh? Huh? Tsunami? Rain and tsunami. Did you guys read Book of Genesis? No, no, no. You guys need to read Bible, please. So. Now, please read chapter 7, verse 11. 7-11.
In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of the heavens were opened.
Wow, so it's like what? It's not like dropping or 1, 2, 3, 4 or like, you know, even like, it's like the window open. It's like when you pour a basket of water on people like that, right? And then, and when the fountain, suddenly you go to Yosemite, you see the old faithful. Right? But old faithful is very little vapor, right? Is it vapor or water? I've never been there, so I just... How many of you have seen old faithful in Yosemite? Not Yosemite, sorry. Where is it? Yellowstone, right. Is it water or vapor? Huh? How many of you saw it? Water. So it's more than that kind of volume. It's like, must be amazing. That's why people must be, there's no way they can enter into Noah's Ark at that time. I think it's too fast. From earth and from heaven. Pull down windows. Remember when God created heaven and earth, and we say, God did not say it is good. The message is hidden at that time because that water is used to destroy the earth. Right? So in Chinese we call hubi. Hubi means that you hidden your pen somewhere in that verse just for this reason. So God did not say it is good. And then suddenly the earth was filled with a flood. So we can see that it was a very terrible situation. And then when did God, my point is that, when did God start to make covenant? It is after God built Noah built an altar, offered sacrifice. And 21 says that when the Lord smelled the aroma of the sacrifice, and he said in his heart, from that moment on, I'm not going to use the flood to destroy people. So what do we learn from this rainbows as a covenant? Number one, we learn one thing, huh? This covenant is only between you and God. This covenant is also between you and the animals and all the flesh. So what do you tell you about, what does it tell you about this? God also loves animals, right? God also loves animals. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 36, verse 5 to 7. Psalm 36, 5 to 7. Because the covenant is not only you all, God love you all, but also love the animals. 5 to 7, please read.
Verse 5, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Oh, sorry. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. 6, your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the great deep. O Lord, you preserve both man and beast. 7, how priceless is your unfailing love, both high and low among men. Find refuge in the shadow of your wings.
So especially verse 6, right? Talk about God, man and animal, you will preserve, you will save. Or according to Chinese translation, you will all save men and animals. So you can see, God also, why did God create animal at the first beginning, in the very beginning? What do you think? Before God created man, God created many animals in the skies and in lands and the ocean. Why? I think, the Bible did not say, and God asked Adam to name them, right, one by one. So they can be friends of men, right? Friends, like company men, especially when Adam has no Eve at that time, right? Like really, when you have only one person, you sometimes like to keep pets. Pets can, if you have a lot of stress, really pets can help you. Do you know nowadays people might bring dogs to the hospitals to see patients, right? Why? Because when patients, when they are very nervous about their illnesses, when they touch the dogs or, you know, we see the dogs wave their legs, wave their tails on them, and then they feel very relaxed. So I believe, God created animals for you and for me to have company. But animal cannot really be your soulmate. Soulmate means that he cannot truly understand your heart, right? So when you are lonely, you go back home to talk to your dog. Doggy, doggy, I'm lonely. But your dog says, woof, woof. He never understand what you're trying to say, right? So you still, that's why God say it's not good for a man to live alone. That's why he made an Eve for him. But before he made Eve for Adam, God want Adam know that animal cannot be your soulmate. They can be your relax. They can accompany you, but not truly know you. But from over here, we can see that God still loves animals. Now, from Noah's flood, the water came down from heaven. My preacher says that the earth originally is supposed to be upright, huh? But because of that flood, the force came down, the earth tilted, become 23.5 degree. Right? If you study science, the earth is not like this, upright, right? It's like this. And my preacher teach me that it's also a grace of God. When the water came down, twisted this way, the farming land on earth doubled. If you put it back like this, it is said that the farming land will reduce to half. So even though before human beings do not need to farm, right? Yeah, you got everything, right? Now, this way, increase the farming lands due to the sun shine on the land. So all this is to tell us that God really like human being and like animals. What is the reason why God did not destroy city of Nineveh? What's the reason? God did not destroy city of Nineveh.
They repent.
Only men repent, or?
The animal fast.
The animal also fast, right? If you read Jonah, the last verse of that chapter, God says, how can I not to remember there are many children who cannot tell their right hands from their left hands, and also there are many animals in the city of Nineveh. So God did not destroy Nineveh also because they are animals. So make sure you don't bully your animals. Okay, because if bully your animals, God will bully you. God love animals too, right? Do you remember that, who is that person? The false prophet, Balaam hit his donkey 3 times, right? Remember that story? When God appeared to Balaam, what is the first sentence God talked to Balaam? Do you remember that sentence? The first sentence God talked to Balaam is that, why do you hit your donkey? I'm serious, you read your Bible. God talked to Balaam, why do you hit your donkey? So don't hit your dog without any reason. Otherwise God will ask you, why do you hit your dog? Seriously, the covenant is not only between you and God, it's also between animals. God also loves animals. And God give animals for you to eat. It is because He loves you much better than animals. Let's turn to chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 2 to 3.
To the fountains of the deep and the window.
I'm sorry, chapter 9. Verse 2 to 3. Chapter 9, verse 2 to 3.
To, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every breast of the earth, or beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, and all that move on the earth, and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hands. 3. Every moving thing that lives shall be fond of you. I have given you all things. Oh, what?
Are you nervous? you're not nervous, yeah? Huh? Oh, okay, please.
Okay. Every moving thing that lives shall be food to you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs.
Okay. From this point on, God give them animals, meat to eat, right? Any living things you can eat. So can you eat a snake? Can you eat mice? Okay. Can you eat dog? Let's not try to discuss about it, otherwise I'm afraid sister will. Okay. But in verse 2, right, it says that all the beasts in the, verse 2, the beasts on earth, the birds in the sky, they will be fear. Fear what? Fear you all. This made me think. Garden of Eden, when there is no killing of animal may not fear you. In the Garden of Eden, according to the Bible, it is what? Lion can live peacefully with the lamb. Baby can live peacefully with the snake. Before, if there is no killing of animal could be very close to you. I just moved to New Jersey, right? Because my house is next to, not very far from the park. I realized one thing. First thing I realized is that, how come the birds in my yard, they don't like to fly? Like, I always see birds fly, right? But the birds in my backyard, they only like... They don't like to fly. How come? Then my wife, I keep asking my wife, birds supposed to fly. How come they never fly? I don't fly. My wife said, in the sky, there's no food. All the food is gone. Oh, now I realize birds become chicken. Anyway, number 2. I realize... The birds is not as scared, or the rabbits in my backyard is not as scared as what I used to know. I used to know that, you know, when I was little kids, when I see rabbits, what do? You just chase after them, right? So, you know, animals don't like kids. Because they always harass kids. Kids always harass animals. But adults, they know that they are more mellow, right? So sometimes, you know, they are like maybe 3 steps away, but they are just looking at you and, you know, and look at you and eat. So my conclusion is that animal and man are very peacefully staying together in the Garden of Eden, only when you start to eat them. Only when at this time you start to eat them, they start to run away. I'm serious. I was not very nice to my dog when we have dog, right? I'm the worst person. My family members, they are all very nice to the dog. I realized one thing, no matter where my wife goes, dogs always like them, like her. She has a dog face, I guess, or dog's hand, I don't know. No, I mean, a dog face, sorry. When dogs look at her, it looks like her good companies. I should not say dog face. But for me, dogs looks like dogs can tell, right? Some people told me, if you ever eat dog before, they might know. They were scared of you. Oh, we spend too much time on this. Animal. Oh, yeah. The conclusion is that God loves animals, but God loves you more than animals. Therefore, God give you animals meat to eat. So, when you treat animals, please treat them good, right? They only, like I share with you, in Jewish people, when they kill cow, the butcher, you call it butcher? The butcher need to be trained. They got to be just one knife, let them die, right? You cannot say, oh, you are animal, you are my meat, so I just closed my eyes and took a knife. No, this is very unhumane. Don't do that, right? Just, so they are trained, Jewish butcher are trained. They call it what? They call it merciful death, right? When they die, make sure you have mercy on them, right? I think this is called human. I think this is good. This is according to the Bible. Now think about it. Then, when the water subsided, Noah was in the ark for how long? Very long, right? Almost a year, right? Around a year, right? Very long, right? Can you imagine that you are staying in the house, never go out? Even though your house is a mansion? Of course, Noah's ark is very big, right? How do you feel? And you know that maybe your neighbor died already, your best friend died already, the one who goes shopping with you died already. Oh, there's no shopping to go at that time. anyone you know died, right? And you are in, you know, you see all the mountain was covered and everything, like, when you go, how do you feel? It's a new beginning, right? New world. A world washed by the flood. Like you who want to go to college, you know it's a new life. You are nervous sometimes. Maybe before you go to your college, first thing, when you arrive to school, you want to kneel down and pray, ask God to keep you and guide you and bless you. Or before you go to, before you leave your home, you want to kneel down, God, please. It's a new life. I hope I don't lose my faith. I'm not influenced by my bad friend, right? You are very, because you worried. Because it's a new future. I think to Noah it's the same thing. Noah is the same thing. Can you imagine that when it starts to rain again? Of course, from that moment on, when that starts to, that water pour down, rain become a normal thing in their life, right? Can you imagine when it starts to rain again, what will Noah do? Maybe run into the ark of God again, right? Because maybe another 1 year in the ark of God, or maybe another death, another people, maybe my friend member will die. After September 11, we are traumatized. Because it's just different. Everything is different. Like, do you know that recently in Norway? You are here. You do not read the news. In Norway, there's a crazy guy went to some kind of island, shooted like 80, 90 people. Right? Do you know that? 80? Oh, you know 80? How many? 84 people. How do you know? Oh, you read in the airport, not here, right? Okay. 84 people. You know, so I was told that Norwegian policemen, they don't carry gun. Is it true? That's why it takes away an hour for them to arm the police. So in that hour, that big guy, nobody challenged him. They thought nobody challenged him, so he just randomly shoot. And for 1 hour for policemen to arm themselves. Because nothing happened over there. Norway is in the what? Arctic, part of Arctic Circle. In that rims, right? It's usually very safe. But they are saying that after this event, they are traumatized. Now everything is different. So can you imagine Noah must be very nervous. So the first thing he came out of the Ark of God, offer the offering, to God, sacrifice to God. And God said, he smelled the soothing aroma. Good. So can you imagine that every time you kneel down here and pray, pray for your school, pray for your unknown, something that you do not know. You want to totally entrust your life to the Lord. When you kneel down, when you offer that kind of prayer, it is like an aroma. It really smells very good to the to God. And maybe God in his heart will say, this brother is a good brother. I'm for sure, make sure the rainbow follow him with all his life. My mercy will go with him with all his life. Also, God is so easy to be touched, especially when you are in trauma, right? So you can see, God likes to comfort people. Satan likes to make you panic all the time. So, know that God is there for you, and he will be with you. So whenever you pray, you feel like your prayer is not listened. Think about Noah's offering. And think about how God smelled that soothing aroma and everything is changed. And this covenant is called what? It's called forever covenant, eternal covenant, everlasting covenant. Please read chapter 9. Chapter 9. Verse 12. Chapter 9, verse 12. Chapter 9, verse 12.
And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you, you perpetual generation.
What is perpetual? What does perpetual mean? Anybody? Perpetual. Keep going, perpetual generation. So it's a forever covenant. So till this day, the covenant still counts. And God never breaks his covenants. Turn to Isaiah 54 verse 9.
For this is like the waters of Noah to me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah will no longer cover the earth, so have I sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you.
The covenant of peace shall not be removed, just like the Noah's covenant, the rainbows. So every time you see rainbows, you should remember that it's an everlasting covenant between your dog, you, and God. Really, it's for your dog too. And God is very faithful God. So really, till this day, there are many floods on earth, even nowadays, right? Sometimes the flood might reach the roof, but no flood ever like totally destroy human being. The scale is like Noah's scales. It's not like that. It's not, because God is already said, and he cannot lie to himself. He's always trustworthy. So just simply by looking at the covenant of the rainbows, you shall know that your God is a trustworthy God. You can entrust every difficulties of your life to him. And you shall know that all the promises in the Bible, when he say yes, it will be yes. When he say that offer tithe, then the window of heaven will pour to bless you, will open and pour blessing to you, and it will count. When you say, keep Sabbath day and you shall have received blessing, then you will come because God will never lie to himself. Oh, so brethren, I know many of you study very hard, strive very hard, work very hard because you want to be successful. But when you are trying to, on your own way, oh, forget about all the God promises. Actually, you lose a lot just by looking at the rainbows, right? Okay, and it's not only a common. The Bible says it's also a sign. Please read chapter 9, verse 12 to 18.
12. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations.
Sign of covenant. Verse
13. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me.
Sign of covenant.
Between me and the earth. 14. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. 15. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. 16. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. 17. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth.
Sign of covenant. So it's not only a covenant, it has a sign. Actually, almost all the covenant in the Bible has signs. Can you give me some examples? The covenant in the Bible also have signs. Other covenants in the Bible also have signs. Anyone? Anyone? Judas? What other covenant in the Bible also have signs? How about the New Testament? We have a new covenant. What God used to set up new covenant. Today we also use the same thing. This is my blood, right? Right? God used his blood to set up new covenant, right? That cup, that blood, that grape juice, actually this is, of course, we say in spirit, they are the blood of God. But God used material stuff as a sign too, right? How about circumcision? What is the sign of circumcision? Covenant. I'm sorry. Circumcision also has a sign, right? It's a, what is a better word? Operation. That is a sign, right? The operation is served as a sign, right? Hello? Jewish people, right? Jewish people? There's a circle on the top, right? Huh? 小帽子? There's a circle on the top. There's always a circle on the bottom. That is circumcision, right? I'm trying to tell you that circumcision has, I'm sorry, covenant has signed. Circumcision is the covenant between Abraham and his student, right? Is that right? Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay. Now, so let's read Genesis chapter 17, verse 13. Genesis 17:13. Can you read for me?
17:13. Mm-hmm. He who is born in your house, and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant.
My covenant shall be your shall be in your flesh. So that flesh serve as a sign. Why sometimes covenant we need a sign? Covenant need a sign. Why? Why rainbow is also a sign? Why? According to the Bible, it is for you to see and to remember. Sometimes men are very forgettable, right? You don't see it, you don't remember it, right? That's why when you graduate from high school, did you give your friend something for some token for remembrance? Or did you sign, how many of you like take your shirt and ask your friend to sign on your shirt their name? And later on you post it, you always hang it on your room. How many of you do that? You don't do that over here? No? Oh, some people do that, right? School shirt, please sign on my shirt. And I remember you with all my life, right? But of course, later on, you also forget about them, right? Until one day, you saw, oh, I remember this shirt. Hey, I remember this name. It looks familiar. And then you start remember, oh, that is your friend, right? So sign is to remember. Now, we just read it, right? Amanda just read it for us. Just read it again. Chapter 9, verse 16.
The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember it ever.
I will look on it to remember it. God will look on it to remember it. Is God very forgetful? God is not forgetful. You are very forgetful. Right? So when you see the sign, you should remember, wow, this is the grace of God. So today, sometimes you need to have sign to make you remember the grace of God. Every year when it is come to spiritual convocation, we have Holy Communion now. We have bread. Of course, physically, spiritually, they have its effect. But, that also help you to remember the death of Jesus Christ. Now, by have Holy Communion now. Not cups and not unleavened bread, right? Now, in your daily life, what kind of sign will remind you to love God more better? Is any sign that you can do in your daily life that you will be reminded the grace of God, the love of God? Huh? Why people sometimes wear a cross? A ring with a cross. Can you wear a cross? Can you do that? I don't think we are against it, right? As long as you do not, when you pray, do not put it in front of you and bow down to that cross. It's okay, right? It's a decoration, right? Some people have cross over here. Golden ring, cross. Eh? Do people have that kind of stuff? Some people do, right? No, some people use that as a sign to remember them. A lot of time when I visit people's place, they have a sign, they have a signboard or some writing on their house. Like maybe they will write Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5, to encourage themselves, right? You can use many signs to remember about the love of Jesus Christ because you are very forgetful. Like when you go to high school, when you leave your high school, you say, you sign on your friend's book, "Forgive me not." Do you do that? Forgive me not. Now God wants you to forgive me not too. God wants you to use the rainbow to say, "Forgive me not." Right? So in your daily life, like I know many of you do, in your computer screen, right? Write something to remind you the love of God, to remind yourself to be more holy. Once upon a time, I went to a sister's, not only myself, some people, I went to visit a sister. She is working and she is alone. I think she's alone in USA, working very hard. And I know she could be, I realized she read a lot of Bible verses to remind herself, to have love, life, to have holy life. Sign is important too, to remind you. Over here, God used this to remind us about His love. And the covenant is also a grace of God. The Bible is pretty shared in the clouds, right? We already mentioned that what is cloud. I don't have time to flip all the Bible, right? But the clouds in the Bible can be used as a sign of disasters. Let's turn to Isaiah 5:30, just one verse.
Isaiah 5:30, yes. In that day they will roar against them like the roaring of the sea, and if one looks to the land, behold darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened by the clouds.
The light is darkened by the clouds. So sometimes clouds is to stop the light, huh? The light, if it is the grace of God. When clouds come, you have no more grace of God, huh? But even clouds come, even difficulty come, as if they stop the light. But later on, God give you a rainbow. Like we said, rainbow always appear after rain. Storm and rain prefigure difficulties. You've got to remember, God's grace is sufficient for you. So hopefully we all can think of rainbows. When we see rainbows, you can think about three things. The grace of God, like Mickey always says, but it's also a sign. It's also a covenant between you, your dog, and God. That's the only other time I pray.